Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Tina Horn, and I'm so excited to be doing a crossover episode, Karen Lee Potter and Cam Potter of Sex Talk with My Mom. Do you guys want to say hi?
We're happy to be here.
Hi. We're so happy to be here with Tina.
It's kind of, neither of us has the home field advantage, actually, because we're in the Acast studios.
Which, so. I guess, is both of our homes.
That's true. Yeah. Welcome home.
Well, thank you. Honey, welcome home to you. Yeah.
And I'm excited to do a crossover episode. I think the thing that would be really great would be for you guys to introduce yourselves and talk a little bit about the history of the show and what it's about for any of my listeners who are not already overlap listeners.
Sure. Mom, do you want to...
I'm ready when you are.
What's your origin story?
Our origin story. It's got light and dark qualities to it.
Yeah, I love that. Some dimension. Good.
Very dark qualities, actually.
I call it like a, like Shakespearean tragedy and comedy.
Okay.
I like that. For the record, our show is a comedy, but what you're about to hear is not so comedic. Anyway, it came out of my father's death, actually.
Okay.
Which happened when I was 17, which was 11 years ago. And the way he died was that he was murdered.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It was a really sudden, tragic, out-of-nowhere thing.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. It's been a long time, but
yeah.
That is awful.
It was wild.
Yeah, and thank you.
After that situation, it really took us for a loop.
Of course.
My mom started her own YouTube channel. Well, Mom, you can express.
Well, basically what happened was that I... was single again, and I'd been married for 24 years. I had no idea what I was doing, so I thought, well, I'll look on the internet for some advice, and yeah. There was no dating advice at all that I could relate to since I was in my 40s, and no one really was in my particular situation, and so I thought, I'll just start my own. I'll start my own
cool.
dating and sex advice channel, which I thought was going to be mostly like dating advice for women my age. But what happened was it became dating advice for guys 18 to 30, mostly sexual. So
When I left for college, she was like, I'm starting a channel. It's going to be about how to date after divorce or death.
Yeah.
And I was like, hell yeah, Mom, you should do this. People need this help. And then within months, I saw videos that were like, cougars talk about penis size. porn stars tips on oral sex. It was like
on your mom's channel.
On my mom's channel.
After a while, if you can't beat them, join them. I mean, that's what they want to talk about. Nobody wanted to talk about reinventing yourself after a divorce.
Well, I mean, it's all part and parcel.
That
same
got
thing,
200
right?
views. You know, porn stars talking about penis size 4 million. Which one would you do?
Wow. Well, they say comedy is tragedy plus time, right?
Right. So then I started talking about her channel in my stand-up, because I'm
cool.
a stand-up comic.
Right.
And that was always the best received material.
Right,
so,
right.
So I started making whole sets that were just about my mom and her being...
Yeah, literally a cougar.
A self-proclaimed sex expert and cougar.
Right.
And then people were like, this is hilarious. Is it real? And I'm like, I don't know how much more real it get. Like, how can I? I was trying to sell her book at one point.
Yeah.
Wow.
My book is called A Cougar's Guide to Getting Your Ass Back Out There.
Oh, my God.
And I reinvented the word cougar. Because I couldn't really figure out a way to explain like an older woman who's still, got her sexy on, and is interested in, confidence and all that kind of stuff. So I redefined cougar to be a confident, older, unique, genuine, assertive, and racy woman.
Awesome. That's great.
Yeah.
Something to
look forward
to.
I think, Tina, I've seen some of your podcasts, and you don't seem to be stunned by much, but somehow I feel like I'm like constantly stunning you right now.
No, you're right. I'm not stunned by much. I think that I am Well, I'm certainly not stunned by the idea of a woman over 40 being confident and racy and having a thriving sex life and discovering new things. I think I'm just really moved by the story.
Oh,
that's great.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
And, you know, I am also really moved by the fact that you guys do the show together and that you figure out how to navigate those boundaries about talking about sex, but it is also important to figure out where your boundaries are, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, in my work, a lot of what I end up talking about, because I have a background in sex work and a lot of sex workers in my community, there is this total myth and misconception that sex workers, porn stars, sounds like you've, you know, I know you guys have interviewed Nina Hartley and mm-hmm. you've talked to lots of porn stars. There's this misconception that if you use sex in your work, whether it is performing in porn or being a dominatrix or having a show where you talk explicitly about sex or get up on stage and talk about sex, that people think that you have bad boundaries, you have no boundaries.
Yeah, yeah.
But actually, you have to be that much more sophisticated about navigating your boundaries.
Totally. Yep. That's been a big thing for us, figuring out, I mean, we've always had a closeness because of my father's death.
Yeah.
I mean, that really brought us close and made us more open. And then when she started this this YouTube channel, it became very, you know, it was clearly an open dialogue with me and the rest of the internet.
Yeah.
We actually had to establish the boundary of where should we stop talking about this to allow us to have our own lives and to, mm-hmm. you know, make sure that I've individuated enough for my mother.
Yeah. Well, I listened to that episode where you guys interviewed the woman who does phone sex, and you guys were talking about your discomfort with Skyping with each other while listening to someone have a live orgasm.
Yeah.
And that's so, you know, awkward.
You discovered that boundary.
Yeah. It's weird, you know, being
in real time.
That was a boundary. That was definitely a boundary. Weird.
It's in general, it's weird to be aroused when your mother is in the room or present and you're looking at her in the eyes.
I could not be aroused. It was just too weird. I don't even know if you weren't in the room if I would have been aroused. I don't know. That was just awkward for me and in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a new frontier. I mean, we have such a strong taboo about talking about sex, about families talking about sex, about talking about sex in public, about even talking about it with our friends, talking about it with our partners, the people who we have sex with. Right.
Right. Right.
Oh, yeah.
So many strong taboos. So that then even when you get to the point of experiencing somebody else's sexuality, whether you are having sex with them, whether you are seeing some kind of live sex show or, you know, experiencing, you know, a phone sex orgasm, you know, a sort of a virtual, virtually mediated sexuality, or like going to a play party. I don't know if you guys have been to like play parties or orgies or.
No,
we've talked about like it.
I'm really finding out that I'm extremely boring.
I don't know about that. There's still time.
Will you tell us a little about your podcast and how this? What is your origin story?
Yeah, I'd like to know a lot about your background and how that started. And
so you talk to people who tend to be what, like on the fringes, right?
Yeah. So okay. So Why Are People Into That is a show where every episode I have a different guest, and that guest chooses a subject related to sex, kink, gender, and or love.
Mm-hmm.
It's often a very raunchy show, very sexually explicit, people telling true stories about their lives and talking dirty. But it's also very political, very feminist, and sometimes veering into theoretical or intellectual. But then there's also a lot of practical advice.
So why are you into that? I can understand if you want a podcast because it's a creative expression, you have ownership over it.
Yeah.
But why sex and why, you know,
and where, this and area? Where did you grow up?
Oh, sure. So I grew up in Northern California and lived in Northern California most of my life. I've been in New York City for 6 years. I started doing sex work when I was 24 in the Bay Area. I got my start doing professional BDSM, which is, you know, is another way of saying that I was a dominatrix. I had a very sort of expansive approach to BDSM where it was not always just being a dominatrix, you know, I would do professional submissive sessions and a lot of like fetish and fantasy exploration with clients.
How did a nice little girl like you start doing BDSM dominatrix stuff?
You know, a lot of nice girls do dominatrixes.
I know a nice girl.
Some of the nicest girls I know are
I was being sarcastic, Tina.
No, but I know. And but I'm being serious. You know, being in the Bay Area, I was living in Oakland, and being a theatrical person and a sort of anti-establishment person, BDSM or, you know, kink and fantasy exploration was a place that I could explore a lot of, you know, the human condition and you know, meet a lot of interesting people. And I guess I'm just like endlessly curious about sexuality. And so getting to meet people in real time and learn about this huge spectrum of sexuality and desire from doing that work was incredibly gratifying, and that's why I did it for a very long time. And
so how
there was
old
an,
were you when you were doing that?
I basically did it from the age of 24 to 34. You know, and the other thing is that there's an amazing community of very supportive people of all genders, really, but a lot of women doing that work and other sort of forms of related sex work at the time, and to this day, actually. And so discovering that community was a really as integral a part of it as the business part and the making money.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because I was just saying the other day, I went to Exotica in Chicago.
Oh, cool.
Everyone there was so nice. Everybody was nice. I mean, nobody's there in a bad mood. Everybody's having a good time. Everybody's nice. Everybody's into it. Everybody's polite to each other. It was a very happy community. So
Yeah. I mean, like perverts and exhibitionists and sex workers get a bad rap for sure. But I think it is related to what we were just talking about boundaries. You know, it's like when you sort of push past the perimeters of what is supposedly acceptable behavior, and you realize that so many of those things are, you know, have held you back or are limiting, and you're exploring that with other people, and you're learning about all of these modes to explore. Like BDSM has so many tenets about consent and negotiation and aftercare and learning and growing and community support. And you like learn all of those things in, you know, in this sort of underground, and then you're like, oh, I don't have to have weird power trips on people or be mean. Also, you're getting laid all the time, so you're in a great mood all the time.
Yeah, it is endlessly fascinating.
Yeah.
I think it's like, once you push into that area, there's so much to explore.
Yeah.
Tina, can you at this point ever have a monogamous relationship?
Well, you know, for me, being non-monogamous, I consider to be an orientation in the same way that I identify as queer. So I feel that I am, and in the same way that I identify as kinky. So for me, it's like an innate part of me. I don't necessarily feel as much now, I don't feel as much drive for having experience with as many different people as I used to. But I think that all of those experiences of like being really slutty and like being an ethical slut has also made me realize the ways that I can get those needs met other places when I'm tired and don't feel like going out to try to get laid, you know? So like, for example, like love and intimacy with my friends, you know, lots and lots and lots of me parties, you know, like solo sex time, like taking myself on a date and like keeping my sex life with myself interesting. And so the answer to your question is no, I don't think that I could be monogamous, but I wouldn't be surprised if I would go years and years without having sex with more than one person.
Do you think it required a bunch of experimenting with different people to get to the point that you can identify exactly what you prefer? And
for me it did, but I mean, it's really just like any other taste. I think it's like some people want to watch every movie and listen to, like, you have a Beirut shirt on, right? So mm-hmm. like you I'm guessing that there's a lot of rock music that you like. Are mm-hmm. you somebody who wants to like hear new bands and just like know all the connections between like all different kinds of bands?
Not to such an extent, but I'm a big fan of music, and yeah, this is an obscure band that most people wouldn't know about, right?
Right.
So it took a while to find that.
Right. And so there are some people who hear Britney Spears, and you know, there's no shade to Britney. I love Britney. They like hear Britney Spears and they're like, that's the music for me.
Right, right.
I am just going to listen to Britney and go to, like, when Britney plays in Vegas, I'm going to go see her, and that's what I like. And I definitely don't think that there's anything wrong with that. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think that that person is missing out because they've never heard Beirut. What's that?
I said, I kind of do. There got to be something wrong if all you listen to is Britney Spears. I'm just going to come up and say that.
You know, but maybe it's like that genre, right? Or like pop or something like that, you know, to extend the metaphor. And, you know, and some people also are like always running around and they have to like listen to new music and they don't like listen deeply to any one thing, right? So I think that, and it's the same with food, right? Like some people are like, I like meat and potatoes.
Yeah.
And then some people are going to be like, I'm going to spend all my money on being a foodie and going out and I want to cook and experiment and try different things. And
It took me a while to get to the place where I felt comfortable even being interested in experimenting.
Yeah.
In exploring. Because I felt it was always bad to, like, you know, sleep around and I did not get it from you.
So where'd you get it from?
It could have been society. It could have been my sister. It could be
You're
a lot of.
Blaming that on your sister?
I'm just saying it might have. I don't know. It might have been. You know,
siblings
she would,
can be.
I saw her getting hurt when she would hook up with someone, and then you know they would kind of disown her, and then you know I kind of felt the same way. If it could just be me letting someone down if they wanted a relationship or wanted something more from the hookup.
Right.
Then it would always it kind of pushed me away from experimenting. So it took me a long time to get to the point where I was like, oh, it's okay because some people also want to experiment. It also will help me in future relationships, knowing myself. This is a process.
And you want to find the people who are on that same page of experimenting and playing with you.
I think there's a sexual revolution going on. I really do. Unless I'm just more and more associating with people that are trying new stuff.
How have you seen that change in your lifetime?
I have seen a change. I mean, at least I'm hanging around with people that are more like that. Maybe that's it. Maybe I'm gravitating towards that.
So you have a sexual revolution.
I just remember this one guy that I was... What?
I was saying you have a sexual revolution, which is amazing.
When I was single for the 6 months or something between my husband dying and my boyfriend... this one guy was having an affair and he was all this crazy stuff. And he said to me, he thinks there's a sexual revolution. It's the first time I heard that, you know? And then the more that came, and I've been interviewing people and talking to different people that have been like into, like young guys that are into S&M. And then we have, you know, so many different lifestyles of polyamory, and we've interviewed so many different people on all different subjects from S&M to It's incredible how many different people we've interviewed that have been in, like the phone sex operator to the porn stars.
What could be happening is that people are more comfortable talking about it, or we create an environment where we invite people to talk about it.
Which is so important.
It doesn't necessarily mean that this did not exist in the past.
Yes, I don't know. It's hard to separate what if it's just me or if it's all society, but something's going on. People are much more open than they were when I was growing up.
I think that's great. Do you feel like that's great? Do you think that's a good thing?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel bad about people constrained to just being, you know, one person monogamous sex all their life. And maybe they wanted to do other stuff. Maybe they wanted to be bisexual. Maybe they wanted to try different stuff and they never were able to do it because of society.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah, sure.
So I came to New York because I wanted to explore, part of it, I wanted to explore sexually.
Yeah.
It scares the fuck out of me. I've slept with exploring sexually.
Oh, okay.
It really is nerve-wracking because if I have all this like pent up like, oh my God, I might hurt this person. I might have feelings. I might hurt myself. Anyway.
I mean, you will.
Yes. So it's scary. It's a dangerous little game.
Yeah.
But I don't even know how to even begin to explore sexually. Like, where would you find all these communities or all the, you know?
Well... I mean, I would maybe start with identifying what it is that you want to explore. Like, realizing that there are so many different communities. And you, is there something that you're interested in trying?
I, that's kind of, not really. Okay. I don't, I'm not like, oh, I've been really craving this or like, it's not
so
like
So what that. Do you want, Cam?
Kind of just new experiences.
Okay.
I'm kind of like, oh, but, you know, if someone invited me to a sex party, I'd be like, why not? I would say, why not? And then I'd have a fucking panic attack for about every day until I get up
there.
I
say, go for it. I'm still mad at myself that I never had an orgy.
It's definitely not too late. I mean,
I think you kind of want it, Mom. And then but you feel like you're in this relationship where it's not possible or.
No, you know what? I think it's like a Pandora's box that you open something up and you can't close it once you do it. So it's a question of whether or not you ever want to open it at all. Can you open it a crack, stick your head out like a little gopher and run back in again?
I think you can open it a crack. I think that they're – no, go ahead.
So she, well, the only thing to consider is that she's been in a 9-year relationship now.
Gotcha.
So that's the crack that she's – like if she were single, I mean,
I was single, I'd probably be a wild animal. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I mean, I had definitely, different one-night stands, but it was still very vanilla. I mean, nothing was really crazy.
So – do you think that your current partner would be interested in having a threesome or going to a sex party together?
What do you think, Cam?
I have no idea. I don't know how your boyfriend would respond in a sexual setting.
He is like just a wild thing. So I wouldn't put him past him for saying, he probably would say yes to everything I ever suggested.
I mean, you guys sound like a couple of wild things. It sounds like you should out into the wild.
I don't know, but then I can also see him getting very protective.
Yeah, you know what? That little jealous head can rear at any time. So
sure.
And I think I heard one of your podcasts where you were interviewing, I forgot, somebody, and they were talking about how jealousy is going to enter into the picture. You can't say you're not going to be jealous.
Well, I think that I'll tell you my take on jealousy. My take on jealousy is that it's an emotion just like any other, and for various reasons, I think that we give it a lot of weight or credence in our culture, where if you feel jealous, then you sort of feel like you have a license to say this emotion is real and should dictate how we behave instead of thinking, oh, I feel jealous. I wonder what that's about. Like maybe this is pushing a button that I have about an insecurity or I feel shame or I'm scared. Like I'm scared or, you know, same as an insecurity. Like I'm scared I'm going to lose my partner. I'm scared that, you know, any number of things. And then it becomes, you know, there's a reason they call it a monster, right? And so then jealousy just becomes this monster that takes over, and then you're not able to actually talk about what's really going on. Mm-hmm. Or even break down, like, what it is that you both really want. So, like, for example, there are a million different ways to have group sex, you know, as many permutations as you can imagine. So, you and your partner could have a conversation where you say, you know, I really want to explore, you know, I really regret that I've never had an orgy, and so I want to start small. What is a threesome if not a small orgy? You can make a profile together, and that is an opportunity for you two to have a conversation about what where the Venn diagram is of what you both want. You know, do you want to have that third person be a man or woman? Do you want that third person to, you know, be your guest star for the night, and then you guys are not going to have like a friendship or a relationship with that person? Any number of things. Do you want to all like kind of get together and just make out the first time and draw a line where, you know, nobody touches anybody's bathing suit area like on the first date? You know, it's like you guys can have those conversations and then kind of have it be a project that you're doing together. And then you can have conversations afterwards about jealousy that might come up.
Sure.
And be compassionate with each other. I find sometimes when I like express my insecurities about something to my partner, for example, just hearing compassion back about that and not being judged sometimes just like makes it go away. And I'm like, oh, that's all I needed. Okay, we can go in and do this thing.
I've had the same experience. Yeah. I have a question for you, unless you wanted to keep going down this line, Mom.
No.
Can we flip the script?
Sure.
What has been your experience like about with communication with regard to sex with your parents?
That was on my list, Cam.
You know, I'll tell you a story. when I was a teenager, I was very bookish and focused on school and in theater. I don't know, I was very convinced that I wanted to lose my virginity. I don't even like that term, but I wanted to have sex for the first time with somebody who I could feel really safe and trusting with. I don't even know why I knew that I wanted that.
It's society. Society tells you you should do that with someone you're safe and trusted with.
Yeah, but then a lot of people don't. So I don't know where I got that sensible idea. But so I started dating my best friend. It was like valedictorian and very nerdy when we were seniors in high school. And then I like went to the doctor and got on birth control. You know, this is in the late 90s. And then we had sex and it was great and da-da-da. And we were always like very, you know, using safer sex and... And then there was this cover story in Newsweek magazine, which we subscribed to and we got at my house, that was about the new American virgin. I don't know if anybody listening remembers this, but it was just all about, it was like an investigation of all of these young people who were like taking purity pledges and some of them who had sex, but then were, you know, allowed to like take their virginity back because they like regret, because it was like awful and they regretted it. Mm. So then these organizations would be like, you can be a virgin again. Like all you have to do is like, you know, all this stuff. So I found that even as a teenager, I found this cover story so shaming and awful.
Yeah.
So I wrote a letter to the editor. This is like the kind of person I've always been, I guess.
Wait, how old were you? Like a teenager?
I was like 17. So I wrote a letter to the editor of Newsweek saying, okay, so you're investigating these people, but the fact that you didn't talk about teenagers who are responsible and make conscious decisions to have sex in their relationships and consensual sex. I don't know what terms I put it in when I was 17, but like, you know, like sex within a relationship is actually, you know, something that teenagers like do and should be allowed to do. And like some of us actually like do understand birth control and use birth control. And so like sex doesn't always have to be like either this like dangerous, awful thing. The opposite of that would be like some sort of like purity, remembering that this is the late 90s when, you know, there was still so much information being given to young people about how sex could kill you because of HIV. Especially when you're young and queer and people are like, especially that will especially kill you, right? So there's all this stuff. So I wrote this letter to the editor, and of course I signed it with my name and my hometown. So my parents found out that I wasn't a virgin because of Newsweek magazine.
It was published.
So it was published, and I come from a very small town, so everybody in the small town was like,
holy shit.
Oh no, she's not a virgin. Da, 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 da. It's right here in this nationally printed magazine. So
how did you respond to this?
I mean, I was like,
ridiculous.
Wow.
News, she has lost her virginity.
My parents separated when I was very young and they don't they don't talk to each other. I don't know. We don't really talk about sex, to be honest.
So your mom and dad separated when they were younger. So were they like at all concerned that you went into the BDSM community, or
I did tell both of them, and they both had concerns, and I was like, okay, well, thank you for telling me that you're concerned, and I know what I'm doing, and I'm going to keep doing this anyway.
Mm. So were they straight? Were they kind of straight-laced people? Like, were they accountants or something, like, you know, that you would not expect?
Oh, very judgmental about accountants.
Were they strippers? I mean, what was going on with them?
They're not. I do not come from a long line of strippers, although I have friends who do. I think that my folks were very loving, I should say, and have always supported me being an iconoclast and like being a weirdo. And sometimes I think that I'm like, here's the way that I'm a weirdo. And then they're like, ah, and I'm like, you have no one to blame but yourself for being so supportive of me being myself. So you like reap what you sow. Yeah, that's kind of the dynamic that we have, where sometimes they're like, I don't know about this. And I'm like, no, I don't care.
But Mom, how would you respond if I said I wanted to go into the BDSM like world and work?
When I got done laughing, when I fell off my chair and started crying.
Your first response would be laugh at me.
My first response would be like, not laughing, going into gales of laughter, like uncontrollably. I might have a heart attack. It would be so funny.
Why? Just because it would be so not like what you would expect of me.
I have been pushing this kid to try to experiment sexually since he was like 10.
This is why, by the way, this is why I haven't experimented that much.
You know, because it's not always the way, yeah. Right? When you're like encouraged.
If you ever want parenting 101 from me, tell the kids to do everything they shouldn't do, and then they won't want to do it. They'll rebel against you. Like,
oh my
you
God, know, it's so funny.
You know, a lot of my friends said, oh, don't let your kids have candy. I have candy out. No one touched the stuff. Halloween is like sit there for a year.
Oh my God, it's so funny.
Soda pop, drinking. Come on, guys, let's get you drunk before you go to college. Nope, I don't want to do that. How about getting high? Nope. We're not going to try any of this stuff until, you know. And so that's how it ended up. At this point, Cam is he's not a virgin anymore, but he's not an experimenter.
Thank you for clarifying. Wait, Mom,
did you find that out in a national magazine?
How would
yeah.
you?
Yeah, seriously. I think I read it in Time magazine. Cam is no longer a virgin.
It probably came up.
I heard about it on this podcast.
We haven't interviewed her. We have not interviewed the girl I lost my virginity to.
We have not gotten to her or the guy that I lost my virginity to.
This could be a duo episode.
Yeah. Are you in touch with that person? Are you both in touch with those people?
Yes.
Oh, well, actually, not me really, but I did, like on a prior podcast, I just explained the same story, but I did contact a guy and told him thank you because you were excellent at helping me lose my virginity and my life might not have been the same.
You know, going back to my story about my teenage virginity, I do want to say, sort of related to the like reverse psychology thing that you were talking about like being really open as a parent and then your kids won't want to try anything fun. I have definitely had moments of regret that I was so careful and restrained as a teenager, and that I, you know, I'm sure that, you know, hey, I turned out great, so that must have had something to do with it. But, like, you know, I'm sure that having that really, you know, and my high school boyfriend and I stayed together, like, in, like, a year and a half into college. So, like, for the first 2 years that I was having sex, I was only having sex with the same person. And I do think that that probably led me to be, like, confident and well-adjusted and, like, a bunch of other things that I can, like, thank him for or thank myself for. But I will tell you, I have like very acute, enduring fantasies of like being myself a teenager and like doing lots of stupid things, like getting, you know, like drunk at parties and just like fucking anybody, you know. And I think it's because I wouldn't say I was repressed, but I was just like very like methodical and controlled and careful. And
this has been an ongoing struggle for me. Even so, I'm also into theater.
Cool.
Even on stage, I'm very like clean cut and like you know, proper, and it's a struggle to break out of that.
Interesting.
And get messy and really just, you know, explore being human.
Well, if you want to start experimenting sexually, you should get, especially while you're here in New York, you should get into some really weird performance art. I promise you, you'll also find really kinky people to have weird sex with in the New York performance art scene. I promise you.
I'm into clowning. I'm sure there's some clowns out there that would have weird sex with me.
Can you imagine this group? It's like a group of guys and girls standing around with red noses on, getting ready to go wild and have this massive clown orgy.
Can I tell you that I am actually scared of clowns, and clowns are like on a very, very short list of no's for me.
Wow.
Like hard limits for me. I'm okay talking about it because It's nice to have something that actually does like make talk about something that makes me uncomfortable, because not a lot of things do.
Oh, my God.
So like intellectually, I'm like, okay, I can get into this, or I can get into to talking about it because I'm almost like fascinated with my own aversion with it. But I will tell you that I'm like, even the thing that you were just describing, I'm like, I'm fucking out of here.
Are you sweating? Are you sweating now thinking about that image? She's going to have nightmares because
I don't like masks. I don't like anything that like obscures the face.
Wait, this is so funny. It's hilarious that I have such limited experience sexually, and yet I'm the only, and you are so open and experienced, and I'm the one thing that you are scared of.
Yes.
This is unbelievable.
Oh my God.
That's so funny.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, Why Are People Into That listeners? Tina here, just reminding you, you may not want to accept it, but it's autumn, which means let's think positively. It's the time of year for pulling your leather jackets and boots out of the closet and figuring out who you want to keep you warm during the chillier months. Fall also says education to me, which is why it is the perfect time to check out the Pleasure Chests workshop series. Follow at Pleasure Chest Stores on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook for updates, or stop by your local Pleasure Chest in New York City, LA, or Chicago to get a class schedule. Workshops are always free at the Pleasure Chest and include 15% off your shopping that night in the store. Pleasure Chest sex specialists lead the education series with a carefully developed, queer-inclusive, kink-positive, pleasure-based ethos that makes up for the lack of sex ed that you probably got in school. New Yorkers, make sure to mark your calendars for the Sex Expo on September 22nd and 23rd in Brooklyn, where Pleasure Chest sex specialists will be teaching you all about orgasms, surrounded by the latest and greatest in sex toys and tech. Find out more at sexexpo.com or pleasurechest.com. Now back to the show. Oh, okay. So wait, I really want to figure out, I like a project. So I really want to figure out, I want to get you in an orgy, and I just want to get you to do something. I mean, first of all, if you want to go to a sex party,
you think it's cute? What is it?
Baby steps.
Go ahead.
Seriously, baby steps, because the other day I was on Bumble, and I just started talking to a girl who suggested we might hook up or hang out.
Yeah.
She was flirting with me, and it was so overwhelming, I almost shit myself. I seriously almost shit myself.
Wow.
I was on the street,
okay, so
I almost defecated.
This is why I think going into an outright orgy just not going to happen right away. But who knows? Maybe you don't like them when you're teaching them to swim in a pool. You know, like you don't like gradually put them in and you just throw them in the pool. Maybe I should have done that with you.
I mean, sometimes you gotta just throw them in the fucking pool.
I might shit myself at the orgy.
Well, okay. Here's my pitch to you. The thing about sex parties is that I've been to a lot of different ones, so I can't like speak for, I can't like guarantee, because every just like every party that you've ever been to, like some of them fucking suck and some of them are great, right? But in general, at a sex party, there are all kinds of people doing their own thing, like at kink group parties, we call them having scenes, right? Which you could relate to as a theater person,
sure,
right? So,
sure.
Literally, if you went to a dungeon where a kinky party was happening, there would be people who had dates with each other to do scenes, and they would like set up a little thing, almost frankly, like a little like theater thing set up, and literally people will have costumes and props, and they will have a sort of a little bit of like formality around like their scene starting and ending, and voyeurism is encouraged. Voyeurism is participation in a space like this, because an exhibitionist is nothing without a voyeur, right? Or they're not going to be able to express themselves without voyeurs.
Oh my God.
And sometimes people especially really love to show off to someone who has less experience than them.
Oh my
so
God.
So if you go to a party and, you know, just being, you know, and you have the look of what you are, which is like a, you know, a boyish, shy person.
Oh my God. Great.
I mean,
perfect,
you do.
Kim.
Sorry.
Am I going to be taken advantage of if I go to these situations?
I mean, I cannot guarantee that you won't be taken advantage of. I would say that probably people would. My guess would be that there would be people there who would find you attractive for the innocent vibe that you give off, and would definitely sort of be like seductive in a like I'm gonna eat you alive kind of way.
Oh my God, it's so scary to me. But I guess this is part of my learning experience.
Yes.
To fucking say no. This
you,
is,
you
no. I'm
to
here to watch. Get the fuck away.
Well, you could be nice about it.
I'm here to watch. Please, you know.
But also, like, if somebody comes over and they're like, "Hey, like, is this your?" Like if a like beautiful, like sort of like sexually intimidating lady comes over and is like, "Oh, like I haven't seen you here before. You know, are you here with someone? Like, is this your first time? Do you like want to have a scene with me? Do you want to play with me? What
God.
Are you into?" You could say to her, "Wow, thank you so much for asking. I am actually really just here to watch." And a good, you know, if you're at a good party with good people with clear rules, that person's going to be like, "Oh, thank you so much for taking care of yourself. Like, I'm gonna sail away now and like eat someone else for dinner," you know.
So how do you find out though if it's a safe party where they're gonna respect that boundary?
I mean, most parties, and you can find out about parties like this on FetLife, various other forums, and I can't promise you that everyone is going to respect your boundaries at every party any more than I can promise you that everyone in a bar is going to respect your boundaries.
Right.
Yeah. But like, you know, also, it might be good, just like it's good to have experiences in bars. And, you know, women have to learn this from a very young age. You have to learn, like, how to be assertive and say no,
yeah,
or know when to just, like, smile and be polite and, like, push someone away.
Do you have to be naked at these parties?
You don't have to. I mean, there are some parties that would require you to be naked, but many... I would say that's the exception rather than the rule.
I'm game for this.
Cool.
What?
It honestly, yes, I'm game for it. It gives me the same feelings of frightened as walking into a haunted house.
I was about to say he just left an escape room literally 2 days ago.
I didn't even go into the escape room because I got very nervous in haunted houses. I think I'm a nervous person.
I think so.
This is why I'm in New York, to get over the nervousness. I need these experiences.
We have a lot of very neurotic people here.
Are you calling me neurotic?
You said that you were nervous. The other thing that I was going to say is that you actually might find that you feel less nervous at a sex party because then you do talking to someone who's expressing interest in you, because it's also possible you'll go to this party and fucking no one will talk to you.
Oh my God.
Which is that worse?
I don't know. That's a whole new thing that I didn't even think of.
But there's not, you could take it from me, like, or learn from my, I don't want to say mistake, but learn from my experience. My first experience is going to sex parties. I definitely put a lot of pressure, and I was like 25. I put a lot of pressure on myself to always have to participate in some way. Mm. Otherwise, I would feel, you know, even I definitely had access to a lot of like subcultures and undergrounds and various things. But even I sort of always had this sense of like, well, if I don't do it now, like, the, you know, this like portal might close and I might never actually get the opportunity to have sex at a sex party again. So I totally slept with people that were just like the people that were there at the end of the night that I wasn't even that attracted to, or that didn't even like deserve to sleep with me because they didn't like have that great of game. But I was just like, let's do this.
Yeah.
You know, and basically like masturbated with them.
You're
so you know,
honest, Tina. I understand exactly what you're saying. That is awesome.
You know, yeah. And so I think that, and because of having that experience, you know, it's not like it tainted me forever, but in retrospect, I've realized that that I really want to give people permission, especially like younger people who don't have as much experience with spaces like this, to give people permission to just go and like enjoy the thrill of like of crossing that threshold of that intense social taboo of being around other people who are having sex or doing kinky things. And if you go to a kink party, you're going to see people spanking, you're going to see people doing bondage, you're going to see people like doing all kinds of different things, and you might actually be like, oh, that's what that's like, or that's what that could be like with these kinds of people.
Probably. I got an idea.
Okay.
I will go to one in Chicago or LA. You go to New York, and we will talk about our experiences later.
It's a great idea.
Done.
It's a great
Done.
Idea.
There you
what
go.
What if I bring a friend?
So
it's,
you can totally bring a friend.
For doing it. A reason, a professional reason to do it, so you don't have to feel like...
You want an excuse. I don't need an excuse. My reason is, guys, I need to conquer these fears.
Well, you can be like, you can put your sort of investigative reporter hat on. I do that sometimes.
That's fair.
Like, yeah. I think this is a great idea. I can't wait to hear back about it. And to answer your question, you can totally bring a friend. In fact, it is probably a good idea to have a female friend with you. And some parties, like, actually will not let a man in without a female friend to vouch for them.
I was thinking a guy friend to protect me. Seriously.
Well,
this is honestly, that was what I was thinking.
You're like, going to have a guy friend to protect you?
Yeah, I give him
like a bodyguard.
I tap my nose and I'm like, this is too much for me. I need
like
I
the
mean,
guy
could do that for you, my friend.
Yeah, that's true too. But I don't have that many lady friends here.
Oh well, that's another piece of advice that I have for you.
Get some lady friends.
I bet.
Can I ask you a question? And
yes.
I will understand if you don't want to answer this question in front of your mom.
Great.
What do you think about when you masturbate? Or what kind of porn do you like?
We've talked about this. This is not anything unusual.
Honest to God.
Okay.
In the last few days, I don't usually watch porn, for the record.
Okay.
It's too much.
You should
it's
watch
almost,
more porn.
It's I'm very overstimulated by it. And it doesn't really, it's not like, it's not my favorite thing.
That's cool.
I need just like way tamer things and that's
sure.
it.
Sure.
Like what? What? Photos. Looking at a Playboy magazine or something?
Oh my gosh, you're so old fashioned. That's cute.
It could be anything, you know, whatever.
So you like a picture of a sexy person?
Yes, pictures better than videos. Just too intense. It's too intense for me. I guess I'm very sensitive. Is what I've been discovering.
A Victoria's
recently.
Secret catalog?
I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, I don't need you making fun of me, mother.
I'm not making fun.
Do the ladies even have like spread?
Over here.
Do they like spread their legs, or are they just like standing there naked?
It could just be like a picture of a girl in a bikini. It doesn't even need to be that intense.
That's I mean, I'm not yucking your yum.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm vanilla as fuck.
Yeah, that is really.
I know. I'm aware of this. This is why I'm in New York, to help me get over this shit.
But you were turned on by the sound of that that woman having an orgasm.
I was. Well, that was in
this, I did not know that.
In the episode, I was like, oh my God, this is getting I'm getting all like hot.
Oh,
like physically
I
warm.
I did not know that at all.
You
I'm
could try.
The first I've heard of it.
If you feel,
you listen to the episode.
If you feel overstimulated by porn, you could, first of all, please pay for your porn. We can talk about that more. But you could turn on a porn, and like just put it somewhere else, or like close your eyes, or like and just listen to the sound.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's systematic desensitization.
Yeah, maybe.
You'll put a blindfold on yourself.
Anyway,
I mean, sounds are really sexy.
The bottom line was that I ended up this week. I was like, you know what? I just need it. I'm trying it. I haven't watched porn in a while. Why don't we try it out? I turn on the porn site. I'm looking and I'm like, I don't even know where to begin with this thing. So I'm looking at the categories. There's like cartoon porn.
Oh yeah.
I was going to ask you, why are people into that? That's
one. I'm going to write that down. We'll talk about that.
So I know I'm literally looking for these categories are so specific. Japanese, big boobs, small boobs, you know everything.
Yeah.
I'm looking at attractive woman. This is it.
But different people find different things attractive.
Yeah, you're right. I should get more specific.
But and a lot of those categories are very reductive. Some of them are very racist. Sometimes they become utilitarian, where you're like, ugh, I really don't like that this is the way that this is constructed on Pornhub, but I want to find the imagery that I'm looking for, or the kind of person that I'm attracted to. So I'm going to click on this thing, like, even though I've like find this fucked up.
Might be a lot for me to walk into this party.
That's true.
Well, how did you feel? Wait, you went to the sexual health expo, and there was some heavy duty couples going at it.
The in New York or LA?
LA.
Oh, cool. I was at the one in New York last year.
Oh, really?
And this year, I'm actually going to be at this one too.
Did they have two people that were like lathering each other up with oils and like sliding all over each other?
No, but I would love to watch that.
I was watching that next to my mother.
Did you like that?
The way you said it just happened to be we were standing next to each other. It wasn't like we were together. They're trying to like get off or something.
I thought it was kind of funny because my mom was so close by. I couldn't really get into the whole situation.
And you were also Facebook Living it at the time too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm getting tainted or something because that did not turn me on either. Nothing turns me on.
There was a little, something was not very turning. That was not a very arousing experience.
Not arousing at all. No.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I think some people are really into like oils and like wet, like people are into wetness or people are into wrestling also. And sometimes, you know, people are just like, these people are hot. So whatever they do, I find hot.
Yeah.
I got to ask you a question here because YouTube channel asked me this.
Okay, note that we are coming up on time over here.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you real quickly. This guy says to me, because we had talked about cuckolding.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a big thing on my YouTube channel about that. And this guy is asking me about a cuck queen, like a sexually submissive woman who gets off on being cheated on by her partner with a woman who is preferably younger, thinner, and more attractive than her, blah, 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 blah. But what is that all about? I guess it's just another flavor of kink.
Yeah. Should we talk about? Let's switch gears.
Okay.
And do the why are people into that game where we do usually on my episode we'll like pick one subject and dive really deep into it, but I've been doing things lately, especially live and when I'm doing like crossover episodes, where I think it can be fun to kind of do like little like mini versions of conversations around several different topics,
like a lightning round.
Yes, lightning round. Exactly. I have thought about constructing it more like a game, but I'm like very bad at games, so I like have no head for that kind of thing. But maybe you guys can help me with that. So let's do it. So let's do why are people into cuckolding? What's your perspective on cuckolding?
Oh,
and then we can do cuck queening too.
I don't know. I have no idea. So that's my response. I have no idea why they're into it.
Oh, you might be into it.
I might be into it. Who knows?
What's your perspective on it?
I've heard about it a lot lately on my channel. So I know the reason that the guys are into it. They get off on it. They're submissive guys, and they get off on being humiliated by their wife having sex in their bed or whatever, in a hotel room or whatever. And as long as it's consensual, I think it's cool. You know, whatever totally. Floats your boat, right? Basically. I just wouldn't be. I might be interested in. I don't know. I'm not really like this. I don't have this evil side of me that would want to hurt my partner and like tell him what, you know, humiliate him. Even if they, because I had a guy even want me to do that on. He's like, I'll pay you on Patreon if you would just make me do terrible things and don't allow me to masturbate or swallow my own semen. I'm like, you know what? I'm not into any of that stuff. I just couldn't do it. I was like, you know, you want to leave. But I don't.
Well, send him to me. I'll know.
I got one that will pay for $3,000 to eat my shit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'll send them to you, too.
I mean, you can definitely send them to me. Also, I will say that in my experience, guys who are into brown showers or scat play, which is not something I've talked about on my show, actually. So good job, guys, for bringing this up. It's very, clowns, scat, you know, we're getting into all kinds of extreme territory. In my experience, a lot of people who ask for that are because it's such an intense like stigma that like, for example, even I'm like,
ew.
Let's all just be shameless and have a sexual revolution like you were saying. And even I am like, should we do that though? Should we eat shit though? Like, so the fact that like even somebody like me is like skeptical about it, I think speaks to how extreme and thrilling it is. So I know I see it, it's a very common thing for wankers to do. And by a wanker, I mean somebody who will, like, for example, like call up a dungeon with no intention of actually like paying people for their time or booking. Who wants to waste people's time, and they want to go straight to the thing that is like really thrilling that they think will shock people, and they're kind of
shocking
themselves. Yeah,
I think he was a wanker, because we found out that the same person had contacted like other like
phone sex wanker.
Operator. I think he's a wanker, and just wanted to see what I would say.
Yes, and which, and by the way, that. All of that is fucked up to me, and I would, you know, even more fucked up than eating shit, I think, is wasting people's time.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, if you have negotiated a consensual, scene or exchange or transaction, or if you're both into it, it doesn't always have to be for money, where somebody shits in your mouth, I'm like, you know what? Do that. Do it. Consensually, maybe do some research and make a risk or assessment about the like health risks around that. But like, go for it. But don't fucking waste my time.
And
because that's unconsensual, right? Oh. So anyway, we're like getting totally off from we like went from cuckolding to scat in about 30 seconds. okay, cuckolding. I really liked what you said that. You know, even if you're like, I don't really understand it and I don't know if I would do it, but if it's consensual, go for it. And I, you know, definitely think that that's true of cuckqueening as well, which is basically just a term for that gender dynamic being switched. So cuckolding is when you have a, in general, heterosexual couple, the female partner sleeps with a man who is not her partner in a way that is designed to like make her male partner aware of it. Let's just say in general, make him aware of it. And for a lot of people, there's a humiliation aspect. For a lot of people, there's like a domination and submissive aspect. Not always. Sometimes it can just be sensual. And then cuckqueening would be when a man sleeps with a woman that is not his female partner, and then makes the female partner aware of the fact, either because she's, you know, again, it's like the person who is being cuckolded or cuckqueened, like could actually be in the room watching,
right?
Or they could just, like hear about it afterwards, or they have to like eat the other person's cum out, or they
I've had that. Yeah, they told me about that too. So how common is this cuckqueening thing?
I don't know how. I mean, how can I answer that? I don't know how common it is.
I never heard that.
I actually think
it's the other way around more, I think.
I don't have any stats, so I would say that I don't know how common it is, but I don't think that it's weird. I mean, I think that why are people into cuckolding and cuckqueening? We've already talked about monogamy and polyamory, and also being how intense it is to be in the room when other people are having an orgasm, even if you're just listening to someone having an orgasm, or you're in a room watching people being tied up or watching other people having sex, that is so extreme. And I think that because that taboo is so extreme, sometimes people construct these scenarios in which they can indulge the simple act of watching somebody else have sex.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, oh, if there's this whole elaborate scenario around it, then I can do this thing that I know is taboo and wrong that I've been like told not to do, right? And so also if they construct a thing where they're like, well, I'm watching other people have sex because somebody is making me do it, somebody is like forcing me to do it, that can be a thing. A lot of people get off on humiliation. It is, you know, embarrassment and humiliation are extremely strong emotions, and any super strong emotion can be
lead to arousal.
Transformed.
Yeah.
What's that? Yeah,
it
can
arousal,
be connected
to
arousal. That's right. Hmm. Exactly. But I also think that sometimes like that dynamic of, well, you know, I know what I wanted to say. The YouTube commenter referred to it as cheating, and I would say that I would define cheating as, you know, like extra relational sex that is dishonest, right? So if you're open and having a conversation about it being honest, then I wouldn't call it cheating.
I agree with Em. That's my definition as well. I agree with you.
Yeah.
So what's so, the, yeah. Well, let me ask you something. So what is the most bizarre, and then without judging, what most bizarre sexual experience you've ever heard of or had?
Yeah, I mean, it's all relative. one person's bizarre is another person's
norm.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
Clowning.
Clowning, for example. What is something that I've done that shocked me? I don't know how to answer that.
Oh, you're so vanilla.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I'm like so kinky that I've like gone around to the other side.
She can't even think. Yeah, you had missionary position sex. That's what it was.
Yeah. Sometimes, I mean, I would say that there have been times when I've had like, more conventional sex, and it was really great, and I'm like, oh yeah. That's cool. Fuck, man. I can't. Okay. I will tell you a story that is not. Can I tell you a story that's not my story?
Of course.
That didn't happen to me, but is just the most extreme thing I've ever heard of. So a friend of mine who is a very experienced, long-time, kinky, leathered, queer person, just like million sex parties, you know, she's seen it all. Was telling a story about this particular individual who was just really into pushing their own boundaries and other people's boundaries, just like anything that would be, you know, if this person is in a scene of people who do, you know, bizarre and like extreme things, they were like want definitely to be the most sensational person there, right? So this person apparently was in a relationship with someone who was a surgeon. And so what they did was,
oh God.
At a play party, they actually had the surgeon remove part of her flesh.
Okay. Oh. Okay. Never mind. I shouldn't ask that question. Cut.
Do you want me to keep going?
No, we're done. I'm done. You're okay. Done. Cam, you want more?
I want to hear the rest of it.
They cooked it.
Oh my God! What part of her?
I don't know. It's something that, I mean, he was a surgeon, so it was something that he knew that he could take off without hurting
it's
her.
So intense.
Did he have
it's
to do
so
stitches?
Intense.
Stitches or something?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a doctor. I assume so. She survived to tell the tale. So,
My God, this is like a
yeah. I mean, I think the idea was to do something that she could survive.
Holy hell!
Yeah, and I will, you know, the most interesting thing about this story to me is that the thing that got them kicked out of the party was not this thing, but the fact that because they were cooking it, everyone in the party could smell it. Which means that everyone in the party was unconsensually being forced to participate in the cannibalistic aspect of the scene, right? Yeah. So they were like, "That's not cool."
Okay, what what was the part of the body?
I honestly don't know.
Oh my God. I thought my story about this guy that wanted to actually he wanted me to go to a hotel, shit in the toilet, leave the room, and then he's gonna just eat it out of the toilet. I thought that was the kicker, but apparently not.
No, man.
I'm very, very, very plain Jane today. This is.
Listen, I wasn't there, but I trust the person who told this story, and actually, it's been corroborated. So this happened. It definitely happened.
So those movies that you see where everybody's wearing those black, you know, the black hoods and everything, those parties actually occur. Like, you know, like they, you see in like Banshee.
I mean,
or,
I've never been to one where people are wearing capes and black hoods. You know, it's usually more like, you know, leather vests and boots and stuff. And I also don't want to give like these parties a bad rap. Like there's all kinds of like weird Hannibal Lecter shit going on.
No,
like,
that was just
a lot of the, you know, you'll see everything, you know, at the parties that I go to, you see everything from like, you know, spanking to like role plays of, you know, like people pretending to be like different ages than they are, or people being puppies, or like, yeah, like lots of bondage, lots of like impact play, like corporal punishment kind of stuff. Anyway, do you want to talk about cartoons?
I think
why are people into cartoons?
I actually want to know as well. I do
want
to know.
You know, cartoons are very popular, like on, you know, on internet, in internet porn.
Like, are you talking about this anime, or are you talking about just cartoons in general?
Well, I think, you know, I think specifically what I'm talking about is like when people make cartoons sometimes of like known characters, like Disney characters. But also sometimes, yeah, like hentai, I believe it's called.
Yeah,
like anime,
that's what the name
like
of
Japanese.
Because
yeah.
That was going on. That was going on at the convention room next to Exotica. So you have these people dressing up in these little cartoony animals. And then you have the porn stars at Exotica right next door. It was just
so that's. So that's like either cosplay or furries, like when people like dress up as as animals in real life. So then like you know, in terms of cartoons, I think that part of the reason that people like it is because you're not watching a real person.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So and in a cartoon you can do anything, right? So you could like fuck on the ceiling, or like people could defy laws of physics.
Oh, yeah.
People could be, you know, or you can see like a character that you know. Like, you know, like Belle from Beauty and the Beast or whatever, like fucking Ariel the mermaid, you know, I don't know where her genitals are. But,
are you interested in any of that? I'm not. That doesn't.
You know, I am. It's not my like go-to masturbation material, but I definitely remember like looking at stuff like that on the internet when the internet was new and I was a virgin.
Maybe like, this is a good place for me to start.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, that may be the way to go.
But then it will be hard for you to live out those fantasies, you know.
That's true, too. I'm setting myself up for failure over there.
You might be. You might be. But I definitely have lots of friends who love cartoon porn.
Interesting.
I think there's also something about, like, the corruption of innocence, right? Where you have these characters that you associate with, like, innocent, you know, princess
time. Do you feel like there's a desensitization about if someone watches a lot of porn, that they can get desensitized in a sense that what initially made them excited will not make them excited because they keep going to further and further extremes?
I don't think that.
Do you?
I have seen, yeah. I've seen guys one guy did not want to have sex because he wanted to stay home and masturbate to porn. He was doing it 5 times a day. So,
I mean, that sounds like somebody who has a compulsion problem.
Yeah,
and,
right. I think it's
like,
easy
I don't,
to
you
fall
know,
into that.
You know, and probably also like a fear of intimacy. And like, I think that reports of porn having that effect on people and being like a public health menace, as the 2016 Republican Party does actually define porn as a public health menace.
Oh my God.
You know, I think that those reports are greatly exaggerated. I think that they take advantage of a lot of the sex shame that I feel like all of our projects are about, sort of like getting rid of that shame.
I guess my problem really with porn is, especially if young people are watching it, like really young, like 7th and 8th grade or whatever, and their first scene that they see is not of like, you know, a man and a woman, or even a guy and a guy. It's maybe a gangbang, you know, where a girl is visibly traumatized. I think that could be problematic to me, that to have that be a first experience watching anybody having sex, or, you know, or if that's what you think is the norm, because you get, I've talked to porn stars that said you should not get your education from porn because it's not
well,
really.
That's the problem. You know, I mean, we also live in a society that does not give young people comprehensive sexual education of any kind. Not,
right.
We don't actually really teach about safer sex, and we definitely don't give like a pleasure-based education at all or teach about consent or relationships to young people. So, you know, I would say that it's not porn's fault. Porn is an entertainment industry, and there's a demand for erotic entertainment for adults. You know, women in gangbang porns do not always like appear traumatized, you know. Sometimes the women I know a lot of women who do gangbang porns and they're like, fuck yes, like
we've interviewed them. There are definitely those that did enjoy it, but I also feel like some of the porn shows women that are not enjoying it on purpose because that turns certain people on. So,
but if the fiction or the fantasy is that the women are being dominated, then the problem is about people distinguishing between fantasy and reality,
right,
and understanding that, you know, people also enjoy watching horror movies. People also enjoy watching sports where
everybody
people beat the
butt
shit
cam
out of each other. What's that?
I said everybody butt cam. He does not like horror movies.
He cannot stand horror movies.
I mean, you're very, you know.
We know.
You're nervous.
Highly sensitive.
You're nervous.
Highly sensitive.
You know, and the example that I always give is people should not learn to drive from watching Fast and the Furious.
It's a good, I like that.
But yeah. Fast and the Furious is a very popular form of entertainment in which there are trained professionals making extreme fantasies of what it could be like to drive a car because it seems very thrilling,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So,
hey.
So if we, you know, but nobody's saying ban Fast and the Furious movies because young people are getting the wrong idea about how to drive a car. It's like you're a kid, you see a Fast and the Furious movie, you're like, holy shit, that sounds fun. And then you learn how to drive a car and you, most people do not then attempt to like surf on a motorcycle or whatever happens in those movies.
Younger people are watching it, realize that it is fantasy. It is.
Well, not everybody is lucky to have a mom like you, you know, who.
That's true.
This is true. I hope our podcast is to have people become like more open about the boundaries and talk about things that maybe you shouldn't be talking about and make you uncomfortable and everything else.
So what's your like closing advice to people about having like more open conversations in families about sex?
I say that you push yourself to just make yourself uncomfortable if it means uncomfortable. But if somebody comes up and asks you a question, you honestly talk about it openly, and I think it's only going to help your relationship in every aspect. If someone asks you. I mean, I don't recommend that people just go up and say, "We're going to have that birds and the bees talk right now, Sonny. Now sit down. I want to talk about vaginas." You know, but if someone walks up and asks you a question, you be prepared to answer it.
Totally. I really couldn't agree more with you that like discomfort is kind of like like what I was saying about jealousy. Like we shouldn't be so concerned with trying to avoid discomfort. Like it's fine. And you too. You don't be so,
worried. I'm trying. I'm trying. It's an uphill battle for me. Yeah.
I believe in you.
Thank you.
Yeah. You've got a lot of promise.
Thank you for all your advice.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Anytime.
You are awesome, Tina. Wow.
Hey, this has been really fun.
This has been super fun. If people want to find you, how can they do that?
Totally. So they should go to whyarepeopleintothat.com or definitely recommend subscribing on Acast. Acast has been kind enough to lend us their studio today. And find out more about my work on tinahorn.net. That's TINAHORN.net. I have Patreon. If you want to give me $3,000 to shit in your mouth, I am open to negotiating that. Or if you want to give me $5 to support my work, that also works too. And that's patreon.com/TINAHORN. And I'm on all the social media as @TinaHornSass, which is spelled the same as @TinaHornSass.
Oh, that's awesome.
And what about you guys? Where can people find out more about you?
Well, you can look us up in any podcatcher like iTunes Store, Stitcher, at Sex Talk with My Mom, again on the Acast app. You can also find us on Instagram at Sex Talk with My Mom, on Twitter at Sex Talk Podcast, on Facebook at Sex Talk with My Mom.
Patreon. We could use any help you at this point to keep that communication going.
Yeah. Awesome. At Sex Talk with My Mom.
Yeah, and both Cam and I both have our own individual YouTube channels. He's Single Cam Comedy, and I'm Karen Lee Potter.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, Tina.
Thank you, guys.
Have fun.
Have a great night.
Oh, I cannot wait to hear about this one. All right, bye-bye, Tina.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.